You know exactly what time it is. It's time for Locked On Panthers. We're back with another edition, a Wednesday morning edition of Locked On Panthers. And boy, do we have some stuff to talk about. There was a game last night with the Florida Panthers versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll get into that in a moment. Dale Tallon has been making the rounds, talking to some reporters. We got some quotes. We got some thoughts. But before we get to that, my name is Josh, and with me as always is my good friend and yours, Frank Rikus.
Happy hump day, listeners. Welcome to Locked On Panthers. This is Frank Rikus, owner of PantherParkway.com. You're listening to Locked On Panthers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are on day three in a row, and I'm really proud of that.
I mean, you act like we didn't do the whole 6 weeks of this show before we took our little break. But yeah, 3 days in a row. Woo, streak. No, we're back. No, we're back. We said we were back. We said we were going to do the show. We said we were going to be back on track. And we have followed through on our promises. So, Frank, last night, the Florida Panthers in Columbus, Sergei Bobrovsky returns to face Elvis Merlikins, the new all-star goaltender for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Man, that kid's been good. And big game because it's coming off of a back-to-back after a phenomenal game in Toronto, Mark Pesek scoring the hat trick. The Panthers come in a back-to-back game. Bobrovsky gets the nod for a second game in a row. And, interesting game. A 0-0 game at the end of three periods. Yeah. So we had to go. Man, it's been a long time, I feel like, since we've seen the Panthers have to go to overtime.
Yeah, I think they said in the broadcast the last time was sometime in November. And, you know, for a while it seemed like the stretch of almost every other game or every third game was going to some sort of overtime or shootout. So, it was interesting to see. And this was one of those games that, you know, in all honesty, I don't think either team deserved to lose. And Bobrovsky had a phenomenal game. I think 43 saves. The game could have been over at any point prior to that during regulation, but he really kept the Panthers in it. It's unusual to have a 0-0 score at the end of regulation when one of the teams that's playing is the top scoring team in the NHL. But boy, they looked... They ran into the hot goalie, so to speak, and just could not get anything past Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, too. Obviously, there was the disallowed goal with the goalie interference. That was a very unique goalie interference with the Blue Jacket player hitting Bobrovsky's glove just as the puck's coming to knock it away from being able to make the save. Very interesting. But other than that, really a kind of an uneventful game as far as scoring chances. There were scoring chances, but nothing that was just phenomenal. Obviously nothing that went in the net. And it was just kind of one of those games where you go, wow, okay, these teams both played a pretty solid game. Like I mean, obviously that with the Panthers losing, our default is to rally and say, oh my gosh, how could we lose? I mean, it's a back-to-back, and you're playing a good Columbus team that's third in the in their conference. So it's not like, it was a nothing team. But I thought they played a pretty good overall, well-rounded game. There was a couple defensive errors that I was frustrated with. But I think overall they played a good game. Bobrovsky played a phenomenal game, and Bobrovsky is starting to come into that zone. In fact, I saw a tweet tonight. I thought it was pretty interesting. From a guy who covers the Leafs, and he said, Nick Alberga is his name, and he said, Sergei Bobrovsky is starting to find his game, and that's bad news for the rest of the Atlantic Division. I like that news. I know you don't because you're a Leaf guy, but Nick, but I like that news. Sergei Bobrovsky is finding his game, and we know, we talked about it in yesterday's show. I know that if Sergei Bobrovsky gets hot, he's unstoppable. And so if the Panthers could find their offensive touch again, of course, that's two games out of three that were scoreless for the Panthers, who have the best offense in the NHL. So they need to kind of rally up around that. Hopefully getting Alexander Barkov back will improve some of those offensive numbers. But yeah, huge game for Bobrovsky coming up with a point. You know, we said at the top of this segment, Frank, that it's been a while since we have been in overtime, and it felt like for a long time we were hearing over and over and over again, well, at least we got a point. Well, at least we got a point. Huh. Well, at least we got a point. Well, you know what? Well, at least we got a point in the game against Columbus. 3 out of 4 points is not bad. And, you know, I think Panthers fans have a lot to be positive about in this game. And we had a couple other things happening too. Frank, talk a little bit about what you saw tonight from Mackenzie Weegar. And, of course, give us your thoughts on the game as well.
Well, you know, it was a typical road game for the Panthers, especially coming off a back, you know, on their back-to-back. Like I said, I really like the way Bobrovsky played. One thing that I noticed, and this probably also takes into account the night before as well as part of the Montreal game, the top line really misses Barkov. And, you know, it was Trocheck the night before. It was Dennis Malgin. Kind of a surprise on the top line last night, but they really miss Barkov. There's just, you know, finding that chemistry is something that those guys had that was very, very special, and it's definitely lacking. And this is where you need that secondary scoring. And one thing I want to say is, I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time Brett Connolly scored a goal. It seemed like he's really tapered off from somewhat of a relatively, you know, hot first half, and he's definitely not scoring at the pace that he was at earlier. So we're going to need him to heat back up. We're going to need Barkov back in the lineup. It could be Thursday night against Vegas. It could be Saturday against Pittsburgh, but he's definitely been missing from the lineup. I think, you know, the team looked good. You could see that Columbus is a much more physical team. They're a pretty heavy team. Nick Foligno did pretty much what he did the last time against us. He was hitting pretty much everything in sight. He laid a really nasty check on Dominic Toninato. I think the kid had a little blood on his face from crashing into the backboards behind the net. But, you know, we withstood that. Is that how you say that? And we hung in there. Sure. Just unfortunate that, you know, we had to lose in overtime. That stinks. At least it didn't happen in a shootout. But, you know, I know we got a point. We got 3 out of 4 without Barkov in the lineup in back-to-back games. I guess we'll take that. And when you look back now, we've won 7 out of 9 games. I'll take that every day, too.
I will take that every day of the week. And I think the Panthers are looking pretty good. I mean, they're looking the way you want them to look in January and February. And they're in the place where they're going to be able to continue to compete for that playoff spot. And that's what matters most. You got to be in it to win it. By the way, Las Vegas odd makers today putting the Stanley Cup odds for the Florida Panthers at 20-1. Hmm. So if you want to make your bets, 20-1 odds of the Panthers winning the Stanley Cup. Hey, there you go.
All right.
You know, I don't know if you're a betting man, Frank, but maybe I'll put $1 down on that. Make $20, go out to dinner if the Panthers win the Cup. I don't know.
Maybe I should take that $250 I won in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, put it down on the Panthers to win the Stanley Cup. I think that'd be awesome.
But then you and I can't go to dinner.
Well, if we win. If we can go to a couple dinners if we win.
We can go to a lot of dinners.
Yeah. All right. Well, big media day today. Panthers general manager and president of hockey operations going out and making the rounds, and a couple of interviews, one on our favorite app/news source, The Athletic. That's a free plug there. We're not sponsored by The Athletic, but we love it, and you should get a subscription. You should go to at George Richards on Twitter, and you should find whatever link he's got there for you to get a discount on your Athletic subscription. It's the best investment you'll make as a hockey fan this season. And again, that is not a paid ad. We just really, truly believe in it. And Pierre LeBrun, great guy, great podcast, by the way. Yep. Pierre LeBrun sat down in his general manager series with Dale Tallon, and he had a couple things to say. And I want to call your attention to a couple of quotes, Frank, and then we can discuss them.
Sure.
So Pierre asked Tallon a little bit about what they're looking for to improve on the team. And this is what Dale Tallon had to say. Well, of course, defense is important. We're a young group. Riley Stillman has come in for us, a second-year pro. He's played very well, but he's still only a second-year pro. Mike Matheson still has games where he's brilliant, and then he has games where it's just consistency. Aaron Ekblad has... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Aaron Ekblad has been terrific for us all year. And Anton Strawman has been a real anchor for us. But yeah, we do have to get better defensively. A lot of that has to do with our save percentage, too. It wasn't very good. But now Bob is starting to play better, so we'll need him to get his normal save percentage and his normal goals against average for us to have a chance. Thoughts on that quote, Frank?
Pretty telling there, right? Young defense that we have. The most interesting part of that is where he says Mike Matheson still has games where he's brilliant, and then he has games where it's just consistency. And I think the pause that I just made is about as long as the pause that it was between Dale and Pierre. That's the one area that it looks like Dale realizes that it has to improve with Matheson, because one night he looks great, the next night he looks not as great. And sometimes it's period to period, and once in a great while it's shift to shift. So that's got to get calmed down. Obviously, he made the comment about Bobrovsky. And, you know, when the defense is playing well and Bobrovsky is playing well, now you've got your perfect recipe. When both of those things are going south, or one is worse than the other, then, you know, you've got the problems that we've seen. So he realizes that this is an area that needs improvement. You and I have talked about it from day one. And, you know, hopefully he can make a deal where he can improve the defense. But it's going to take some very special... Yeah. You know, it's going to take a lot of phone calls, and it's going to take a very unique deal to pry away a defenseman that's going to help us.
Well, this is what we've been talking about since the beginning of the season, basically. In fact, our friend George likes to say it this way.
The defense sucks.
You know,
and it's true. Wow.
I know, Georgie, coming back on the front. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we got to be careful because – you know, we don't want to make a move that's going to impact the future. And we'll talk about that because Tallon went on to talk to NHL.com about that a little bit more. But at the same time, he's right. It's a young defense. I mean, we don't always think of it that way because you have some guys that have been playing for a little bit. But Aaron Ekblad is even still a pretty young defenseman. You've got, you know, Mike Matheson's a pretty young defenseman, even though they have a couple seasons under their belt. Mackenzie Weegar and Brown, those guys, I mean, Riley Stillman, they're all like either first or second year players. So you're relying on these guys who have not – really played major minutes in the NHL, and you're expecting them to make the right decisions every time. I don't know that that's necessarily a fair expectation. And so hopefully Dale Tallon is going to be able to make that move that he's looking to make. Hey, I want to call your attention, though, following up on what Dale Tallon said about Sergei Bobrovsky's save percentage was affected by the defense, which I 100%, by the way, agree with. Mm-hmm. That his percentages have been affected by defensive positioning. This is what he had to say. I thought this was very, very telling. He was talking about Bobrovsky. Tallon went on to tell Pierre LeBrun this. And I think he was also trying to justify the deal. $70 million over 7 years, you know? That's when you try to do too much. He's a really good guy, and he's really invested. No one prepares more. But I think Bob was just trying to do too much. That's the meeting that I had with him. I said, listen, you got the money. You got the deal. Just go out and play. Relax. Guys care. But I'm very confident he's starting to find his game as we speak, and I think that is the important part. Thoughts?
Well, I think I've mentioned this a few times about Bobrovsky. You know, yes, he definitely is prepared. He's definitely focused. But there were nights either after a loss or sometimes even after a win. And I think it was more noticeable after a win where we'd be in the dressing room and he just wasn't happy about it. You know, he was pleased with how the team played in front of him. He was thankful for the win. But, you know, most of the time you want your goaltender to be a little more jovial or a little bit more relaxed. But he has seemed wound up like a, I don't know what the phrase is, but just wound up very, very tight. And if he can just relax and settle down, and you know, just like Dale said, you got the money, you got the contract, just go play. And maybe that is what's starting to happen now because he's definitely looking a lot better. But you know, we all know that goaltenders are very unique individuals, and they all respond and react differently to different situations. But I think that Bobrovsky can, you know, get past the fact that he's signed this big fat contract. He's worth, you know, the money. Let's not dissect whether it's too much or the length is too long. Let's just forget it. It's over. It's done with. And let's just focus on him trying to be the best he can be.
Okay, so then Dale Tallon, continuing with the rounds, spoke to Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com, and they posted that up today as well. So I guess today was Dale Tallon Media Day, almost like when the Panthers are in Toronto, you'll get noticed. But anyway, this was some things that Tallon had to say in this article. He said, "I'd like to acquire a veteran D if I could to play with Ekblad and settle things down a bit back there. We need to be more consistent on the blue line." Then he went on to say this: "Riley Stillman's been really good. Mike Matheson has been good some nights, not so good other nights. We need to have less ups and downs back there. A steadying influence probably up front as well. Everybody's got a chance, and that's the hard part. Moving forward, you ask yourself if there are any hockey deals out there. Then you have to figure out. Most everybody is probably cap stressed, and I'm not sure what to do about that. Rent-a-player deals, well, we've seen sometimes those just don't work. So you have to be careful about what you are going to give up. We've put ourselves in a position to be successful. Now we have to take it to the next level. We have to win. We have to believe in it. We have to battle and play playoff hockey the rest of the way. And that's something that our guys will have to learn how to do. Consistency. This is a good team. We have to stay healthy, obviously. We haven't had everything go together yet. There's a credit to Joel and his staff for keeping us in there because we've been inconsistent. At one end, if our goals against is down, we don't score a lot. And when we do score a lot, we give up too many goals. If our power play is good, our penalty killing isn't, and vice versa. So we haven't had everything going at once. We're showing glimpses of it now. We had a 6-game winning streak before the All-Star break. I regret that we had that break, but that's the way it is. We've got to figure out how to do it from here on out." Great stuff, I thought, from Dale Tallon there.
Excellent insight coming from a former defenseman himself, and you know, mentions all the right points, all the areas that need to be improved. But if you notice, you know, the one thing that he's talked about, not only in this article on NHL.com, but also with Pierre LeBrun on The Athletic, was consistency. We need more consistency. And not to say that he's pointing the finger, but Mike Matheson, you're getting his finger pointed at you. You know, he's got to be more consistent. I think he's got the ability to be a very good NHL defenseman. As long as, how many years has he been playing now? Is this his fourth year? His fourth full season?
I think it's his third or fourth.
Third or fourth. Yeah, I forget off the top of my head, but he's still relatively young. And like you also mentioned, you know, Aaron Ekblad is young, but the other guys on defense, Stillman, Josh Brown, and Mackenzie Weegar, you know, the measuring stick for when a defenseman is kind of sort of made it, so to speak, is about 300 NHL games. Those guys have not individually played 300 games. And I think if you put a couple of them together, they're together, they haven't played 300 NHL games. So definitely needs to be improved. Again, good defensemen are hard to find. Now the trick is going to be, you know, what do we have to give up to get that defenseman? Because if we're looking for a veteran defenseman, it's obviously going to be someone who's making some bucks. And we'd have virtually zero room to bring in a guy that's making any kind of money. So what are we going to have to give up? You know, and that's the trick here. It's, yes, you may have to give up a prospect, right? Whether it's Borgstrom, Tippett, I'm just saying names to say names, but someone who's making money has to go the other way, and it's probably going to be a Dadonov or Hoffman
in order to
make it work.
That's going to be interesting too. Also, news coming out today, I don't know if it's confirmed, that Mike Hoffman did give the Panthers his list of trade destinations in December, but that's not confirmed, but it's been floated out there. By the way, I looked it up while you were talking. Mike Matheson is about to play. He's just a few games short of his 300th game.
Okay.
And right. Believe it or not, Aaron Ekblad, 450 games. So, they're starting to get to that kind of that mark. But I get what you're saying. Okay, I want to float a totally crazy theory out there, Frank.
Okay.
You ready? You ready for this one?
Bring it on.
There's two rumors out there about players who could come to the Panthers. And typically, Frank, you and I don't traffic in rumors.
No.
Typically.
Right.
We'll talk about the second one, which has some Chicago connection in a minute. But I want to throw this idea out there. Now, Ilya Kovalchuk, you know that guy?
Yes.
pretty good player, you know, generally, but, you know.
An enigma, but yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, last season with the LA Kings, he had a pretty bad year. This season going into the 2019-20 season, everybody had written off Ilya Kovalchuk. And they said he was done. He couldn't play the NHL game anymore. He couldn't score. He wasn't going to be an NHLer anymore. And so the LA Kings actually released Kovalchuk from their contract with him, and he signed a one-year deal, kind of a show-me deal, with the Montreal Canadiens. And boy, has he been good for the Montreal Canadiens. 10 points in 12 games, 5 goals, 5 assists. He's been playing really well after only having 9 points last season for the LA Kings. So it's kind of an interesting thing because everybody's kind of up in arms, and now they're talking about, well, is Montreal going to re-sign him? Are they going to try to trade him? Well, if Montreal wants to trade him, they're going to want a second-round pick. I mean, this is a guy that was written off, right?
Right.
By the LA Kings. Now, I say all this to say this. You know another guy who was written off because he played for the LA Kings and looked real bad? Dion Phaneuf.
Yes.
And I've been thinking about this more and more lately because was Kovalchuk bad or were the Kings bad?
Oh, the Kings were awful.
It would appear that the Kings were bad and that made Kovalchuk look bad.
Yep.
So let me kind of do a comparison there. Was Phaneuf bad or were the Kings bad? You know, Dion Phaneuf could be a guy that could be had for no trade, could probably be had at league minimum salary. And man, that's a guy I would really like to see the Panthers go after, to be honest with you. I was thinking about it a lot today. He's got over 1,000 games played in the NHL. And you don't need him to contribute offensively. You just need him to know where to stand and know how to push guys away and play a solid defensive game. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, you know, Dion Phaneuf could be a perfect fit for the Florida Panthers to come in and be that veteran defenseman to settle down like Dale Talon's been talking about. I don't know anything about it. It's not a rumor I'm trying to start. I was just thinking, man, that would make so much sense. In fact, it probably makes too much sense for the Florida Panthers to do something with Dion Phaneuf.
It's weird that you say that because I guess a couple weeks ago, I don't know where I saw him, but I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I was watching a game. He was there at the game. He was in a suit. I'm like, he's not playing. Just like, wow, wait a minute. Phaneuf isn't playing, right? Huh. I wonder if the Panthers could use him. So, you know,
he's 34.
34.
He's 34.
He's a veteran. No, he's not the fastest skater in the world. No, he's lost a step. Or yes, he's lost a step. But you're right. All we need him to do is play defense. He's played in the playoffs. He's played in some heavily media centered areas where, you know, he played in Toronto, he played in Calgary. So, you know, he's been under the microscope. Maybe he could come in Florida for the stretch drive here and maybe he could add something. The question though is he in shape? I don't know what he's been doing.
So I Googled around a little bit And he actually was in Toronto a couple weeks ago, and talking. I guess they were talking about how he would like to be on an NHL team. He still thinks he could play. So I think it would be a very interesting thing for the Panthers to take a shot at a guy like Dion Phaneuf and say, you know what, we can get him for next to nothing.
Yeah,
we can put him on the team. You know, if it doesn't work out, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
it's one of those low risk, high reward deals. Yeah. You know?
I would like to see if the Panthers are not able to make a trade, and maybe they will be able to, but if they're not, that's the kind of thing I would really like to see, because I think Dion Phaneuf could contribute, and I'm probably going to get hate mail for that. But again, let me ask you this. Is Dion Phaneuf bad, or were the Kings bad? Was Ilya Kovalchuk bad? Is Ilya Kovalchuk bad, or were the Kings bad? You know what I mean? It's worth asking. It's worth asking that question.
You know, Dale, if you're listening, and I don't know if you are or not.
Oh, he definitely is. He definitely is.
I know sometimes that Randy Moeller listens. So Randy, you know, talk to Dale, and if he acts on this fast, maybe Dion can be really ready to go in the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I'd love to see that happen. So, but the other big thing, the other news, and we'll finish up the show with this. Dustin Byfuglien mutually terminating his contract with the Winnipeg Jets. And so, of course, today, the buzz out there. Hey, would Byfuglien be a good fit on the Panthers? Which sounded like just a fan dream, right?
Right.
Until Kevin Weeks of NHL Network saying, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dustin Byfuglien playing for the Florida Panthers. Makes a lot of sense with his connections to Dale Tallon and Joel Quinville. So, as the resident expert on all things Blackhawks, Frank Rikus, is Dustin Byfuglien going to be wearing the Cat's sweater anytime soon?
I don't see it. I mean, that's just my opinion. So that means it's probably going to happen. I really don't see it though. I mean, I don't know if Dustin even wants to play this year. You know, he's coming off an ankle injury. Is he 100% by now? I mean, what's he been doing off season? I mean, he's a guy that weighs allegedly 260 pounds, but there were rumors back in 2010 in the cup run where he was like 285. I mean, imagine 285 pounds on skates, but I don't know if he's in game shape. You know, is he fully recovered from the ankle injury? Does he want to play? Does he want to just wait till next year, you know, and just continue taking the rest of the year off? Again, it's another player that could be had for not much. So, I think it's going to be somebody else. That's just my opinion.
It's really going to be interesting to see. The key to it, though, is going to be upgrades. There needs to be upgrades for the Florida Panthers, and hopefully we'll see Dale Tallon make those upgrades. But it sounds like that's what's going to happen. So, hey, what do you think, listeners? Do you think Dion Phaneuf would be a good fit? Do you think Dustin Byfuglien's coming to the Cats, or do you think something else might happen? You know how you can let us know? You could call the show at 954-228-0630. Again, that's 954-228-0630. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you think is going to happen. Who's coming to the Panthers? What do you think of Dale Tallon's comments? We want to hear from you for our Talk Back Thursday segment. You can also follow along on Twitter at Panther Parkway for all the breaking news and analysis. You can also check out the site. There's been some great stuff up there recently at pantherparkway.com. Make sure that you follow Frank at Frank Rikus, and you can follow me at Josh_LOPanthers on the Twitter. We'd love to have you. You can also email the show at lockedonpantherspodcast@gmail.com. Well, that's it for this edition of Locked On Panthers. We'll see you tomorrow with our Talk Back Thursday segment. For Locked On Panthers, I'm Josh.
I'm Frank.
Thank you for listening.